This is Here and Now. We've got a story now about the difficult decisions that parents have to make, even before they've become mothers or fathers. This is Jennifer Wolf Perrine. She's a writer, and her road to parenthood has been long and difficult.
When you go through years and years of infertility, you feel like choice is something that doesn't belong to you. You don't really feel very strong. And you feel very vulnerable, and you feel like if you ask the wrong question, you could lose everything.
Which is why when Perrine and her husband decided to adopt, they didn't ask the birth mother some important questions. That choice, however, forced Perrine to make even harder decisions just before the birth of the little boy they hoped to welcome into their family. Perrine writes about it in the recent issue of Red Book, and when she talked with us, she began by describing the moment the birth mother, whom we'll call Marla, phoned to say that she'd picked Jennifer to adopt her son.
I remember I was driving in the car near where my stepdaughters lived, and she said, "It's you. I've chosen you. I've chosen you and Steve," which was another really surreal experience. I wanted to be very happy, and I felt very happy, but I also felt very strange.
Strange?
Strange in that, you know, I couldn't have a child on my own, and a woman was going to let me adopt the baby that was in her belly.
Hmm. Marla ended up sending you pictures of her family, including her teenage son. What did you see in those pictures?
I saw people that, you know, we could be related to. She could be related to my husband. I could be related to the birth father. There were just those similarities. And what I saw in her son was someone who wasn't well. It was a graduation picture of him, and I could see that he was sickly. You know, obviously he was taken in an enclosed environment, probably in an air-conditioned room, and he was sweating profusely. And she had told me that he had an endocrine disorder, and that I had already known, but I saw it in the picture.
Was it after that that you started wondering about Marla herself and her own health?
I had always wondered about Marla and her own health. Some of our phone conversations were peculiar, some of the responses that she would have. And I now realize that she was probably very high when we were speaking. I made that connection afterwards when, in her self-disclosed medical reports, she said that she had used amphetamines daily until she learned she was pregnant, which I think was at 4 or 4.5 months, and then that she had smoked pot daily.
Jennifer, if I may ask, I can imagine that when you and your husband were first getting to know Marla, there were probably all sorts of questions that you were keeping to yourself about her and her background. Did drug use ever enter your mind as a possibility?
That was unimaginable to me. I mean, I realize that's naive, but it was unimaginable to me.
Because I wonder what it was like for you and your husband going through this once you discovered that Marla had been using drugs while pregnant. Because as you write, I mean, there were studies about the effects of long-term marijuana use on fetuses while in utero. But you also write that none of it was necessarily life-threatening, but life-altering, or that there could be the possibility that there could be no negative impact at all.
Absolutely. I called doctors. I called the pediatrician who is now my pediatrician, who wasn't my pediatrician then, and I asked her, you know, I said, this is the scenario. These are the health reports. These are the self-disclosed health reports. And one of her first responses was, well, if this is what you're being told, imagine what you are not being told. And it was a very tough situation. It was a very tough decision to make, and one that we did not make lightly.
No, not at all. And as you were weighing those all of these factors, was there ever a time where you thought, this little boy who's about to be born obviously faced challenges while in utero due to his mother's drug use. So who knows what challenges he might face after birth, and maybe that makes us actually the right family for him.
You know, we consider that. We would have gone to any length to take care of a child, you know, who was ours. But to knowingly bring in a child with potentially serious health problems, we could not do. We were not the family to do that. We did not feel that we were serving that child by taking him into our family at that time,
yeah,
or serving the children that we had.
You're being pulled in so many directions while having to make this decision, because in your article you also write, I couldn't imagine anything more cruel than what we had done, rejecting her
Absolutely.
Child even before he was born.
Yes.
So when you finally made the decision that you were not going to be the adoptive parents, first of all, what impact did that have on your husband?
He was devastated. We were both devastated. We couldn't even talk. I mean, we just lay on that floor and just looked at the ceiling for hours, thinking about what we had done and what it had all come to. And that, you know, even have you never imagined that you're going to have to make this kind of decision, that you would make this kind of decision.
You're listening to Here and Now. Jennifer, you ended up adopting another baby, a little girl, and Marla decided to keep her son. So do you know what happened to the little boy?
I was so happy to hear that Marla had kept her son and that she had gotten clean. That felt to me like this all kind of worked out.
So because you mentioned that you don't, this was a side of the adoption story that you hadn't seen reported, if ever. What for parents and families who are in the adoption process or considering entering it, what would you tell them?
You know, I would tell them you have to do what's right for your family. When you're creating a family, you're not, you know, auditioning for sainthood or you know, running for political office or doing anything, you know, that warrants people judging you. You have to do the right thing for your family. And we had to do the right thing by our family, and this was the right thing. And it was difficult and it was tough, and it's a decision that we still talk about and live with. But in the end, we did the right thing for us.
Well, Jennifer Wolf Perrine's article is entitled The Baby We Turned Away. It appears in the latest issue of Red Book. Jennifer, thank you so much for sharing your family's experience and your story with us.
Thank you.
And remember, we always welcome your thoughts on anything you hear on this program. Send them to hereandnow.org.
Funding for Here and Now comes from Charles River Apparel. Over a quarter century of creating apparel for corporations and athletic teams, based in New England and family-owned. Learn more at charlesriverapparel.com. And Constant Contact, offering small businesses online tools like social media, event, and email marketing from one login at constantcontact.com.